I am here for this, and I'm learning all of the ways how to integrate Carrie and Fletcher into one, to truly bring that human experience and not it be like, oh, what do people want to hear from me? It's like, no, what is the truth of where I'm really at?
Good to see you.
So good to see you too.
I never know if you're a sheep in wolf's clothing or a wolf in sheep's clothing. Right now, I think you're probably a sensitive, vulnerable human being who looks like a fucking rock star.
Yeah, I got my Matrix jacket on. But you know what? I'm feeling a little... I got my Matrix jacket on, but I'm also holding a crystal. You know what I mean? So it's, yeah, it's the balance. Bringing a little earth into the room.
Everything's contrast.
All of it can be true.
And you're a Pisces. You're fucking crazy. And you're about to turn 30, so you're double crazy.
Oh, no. Don't bring it up.
I'm 50, dude.
In a week.
It gets better. It gets better.
You know what? I'm excited. I am excited to turn a new leaf, to turn a new chapter.
What do you
I
do with
ready.
Youth anyway? It's such a fucking waste of an opportunity most of the time. That's the whole point.
Oh, it's also you're just like scrambling, trying to figure out who you are.
Yep.
Yeah. And, yep. I feel like...
It's beautiful.
And I've been able to figure out who I am through music over the years. Yep. Like it's been the vessel for me exploring myself. And even now looking back, even at what all my projects have been called of like... Finding Fletcher, you know, the sex tapes, the girl of my dreams. There's been these through lines of me just like deeply searching.
It's been messy, but you've been open about it. And that's yeah. What's great about it. And I mean, life is. And we look to art to sort of, to try to kind of justify our own mess, I think, and to say, hey, it's okay. You don't have all the answers. You don't figure it out. You never will. It's not the point.
Yeah.
But I don't think enough is actually said about your dedication. Like you finished college. You didn't have to, probably. You checked out for a minute.
I did.
You came back and you saw it through.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I took a year leave of absence and I went down to Nashville and I wrote my first ever EP there called Finding Fletcher. And then I went back and I was simultaneously releasing music and going to school at the same time. I was at the Clive Davis Institute of Recorded Music at NYU. And I was doing internships and I was interning at, you know, record labels and management companies and publishing companies, and really was just wanting to understand the business in all of its forms.
Always knowing you were going to take that information and apply it to your own journey and be an artist.
Yeah, smart. Well, just because I know that it takes a village for an artist and just in life in general, like we need community, we need other people, we need that support. And yeah, I just really wanted to know what it was like and all of the aspects involved in an artist's career so I could also be able to express the immense gratitude to everybody that has been a part of bringing my vision to life over the course of the years.
Mm-hmm. There was a great moment in the Oscars the other night when Emma Stone talked about being really terrified about accepting the award, the possibility of accepting the award she inevitably won, and the director turning around saying, take yourself out of it. And I thought that's like such great advice for an artist, because so much centers around your voice, you delivering the quality of the music, you touring it, you bringing it to life. And you have, all the support of people, and it does take a village, and everyone, a great team supports a great team. But I think it's really healthy for an artist to take themselves out of it if they can at times.
Well, yeah. Also, especially this, like the archetype of the celebrity even is just such a strange phenomenon. And when you think about from an evolutionary perspective, like our bodies aren't really cut out for these things. Like we're meant to just be in like caves, eating, sleeping and fucking and you know what
Basic
I mean?
Human condition stuff.
Yeah. And here we are like around all this technology and these lights and my body. And I'm like here, I'm holding a rock trying to find my center.
But being honest with yourself, as you turn a milestone into a new decade, looking back over the last decade, can you look at yourself in the eyes and say that you didn't crave it?
No, oh my gosh, I absolutely craved it. All of the ways that I have sought external validation and lived for an applause and I built so much of my self-worth, you know? I started with classical vocal training when I was 5 years old. I've always been in music.
This is my pathway to appreciation and value.
To love. It was the thing that like set me apart from people. It's like, Carrie, sing at the party, sing at the family party, you know?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Audition for this play, try out for this TV show, all the things. And I was just, it was a way that I was able to receive, you know, build my self-worth. And so such a big part of my adulthood. And now really even over this last year has been like, what is my worth outside of all of that?
That's what this album sounds like to me. Focusing on Antidote, it sounds like you have finally made a record that isn't attached to anyone else's metric of value. That it's like, hang on, this has to just be mine.
Of course, I think there's always an element. There's always an element of it there because we, you know, we exist in a world and a society where it's like people put so much. There's so much expectation, and so. But I also think such a big part of this album was me like getting really quiet and just going internally, and I disappeared off social media for like 6 months, and I was really going through it with like a deep, deep health struggle and health journey, and my body started to completely just shut down on me, and I had no choice but to like look at who the person was in the mirror and all the ways that I was not operating from a space of integrity and alignment and like honoring myself and my body. And yeah, showing up in this space is so hard. There's so much about it that I'm just, have so much gratitude for. Like, truly, to be able to sing and go on tours and perform these songs for thousands of people who are, like, screaming back the words that I made up in my fucking bedroom, you know, out of thin air. And then also all of the pressure that comes with it that you, that externally and internally that we put on ourselves.
I think that's where you have to try to take yourself out of it.
Because it's so true.
Because I think that, you know, there's enough going on with the travel and with the lifestyle and the hours you have to keep. And it's tough on the body. And it's tough on the mind. It's not a normal place. And by the way, life goes on around you. I've had this conversation thousands of times with artists about achieving your goals and dreams only to realize that everybody else's life continues. And and that's when you realize the real trade. The trade is that you are following your dreams, and the cost is that everybody else is getting on with their life. And that's time, and that's experience and memories and moments and things you don't get back. That's
totally.
The trade. That's
and also, we're all the like the main characters of our own stories, you know? Like, we really are. It's like you're the main character of your movie. I'm the main character. Everybody in this room, like, we're all the main character. And it's finding that balance of that and also taking yourself out of it and realizing it's not that deep.
It's not that deep.
It's not that serious. It's all good, you know?
It's all good in your custom Beats headphones. Look at you stepping out.
Look at me. I got Fletcher. There's Fletcher and Antidote engraved in here.
I mean, they're the same color.
Let me do a full.
As your current hair color as well. So the whole thing is just beautifully aligned.
Yeah, I've been through a couple hair. You've seen me through all my hair color changes too.
I've seen you through some hair color changes.
Wow, we've been through it together, Zane.
We have. I feel like from day one, we dived in. Our conversations got pretty deep pretty
quick. I always
get
nervous about our conversations because I never know.
Whatever the fuck ever you do.
No, but just because we go, you go there.
First of all, you touched on this a little bit, so I hope you're okay just kind of clearing it up. What happened health-wise?
I was diagnosed with Lyme disease last year. And
the symptoms can be confusing for some people because it's
fully,
so it's what did
mystery,
you go through?
Mystery sort of illness.
Yeah.
It can look different for everybody. And for me, it just really showed up as just like my body just like shutting down in all the ways. My muscles, like energy, vocal cords, mentally, emotion, all of it. And I just, and I went to go seek some answers. I went on like a search to go find the antidote to what was happening in my body. And the antidote has been many things for me over the course of my life. It's been the women, it's been fans, it's been stages, it's been bottles of tequila, it's been writing petty ass fucking music. And this last year it was healing. Like the antidote was healing and finding, you know, finding answers and really. And of course, there's so much that goes into a health journey, right? But it's also, for me, it was like...
Well, you hope it's a lifelong journey.
It's a lifelong journey. And there's so many aspects involved in it, but you cannot isolate the heart, the mind, the body, and the soul from one another. It's this journey of it collectively together. And so healing all of those things, like unprocessed feeling and emotion and childhood stuff.
Well, the body often tries to protect you from acknowledging the tough stuff. So it stores a lot of stuff.
Well, it starts to show up in the body.
Correct.
when you are ignoring it.
Correct.
And it's just like, hey, you've missed every red flag warning sign. Now I'm going to hit you so hard.
You've got no cerebral pathway. And so your body's just holding on to shit. That's what I think.
And it was. And it was just all stored. And then I collapsed and I watched Taurus be pulled down. I watched numbers get quiet. I watched streams go down. And then all this other stuff got really quiet. And then all these other things got really loud.
Mm.
Like my mind, like the darkness in my mind, my belief about my self-worth, my belonging, my purpose, all of these things just started to come to the surface of like, who am I outside of all of that?
Isn't it great to know it can all go away and you'll be fine?
Yeah. It is truly the most freeing thing of like, I have so much gratitude to be here. But also, I don't need it. I'm good.
Yeah, I hear it in the record, you know. I hear it in the music, and it's lean. It's 11 songs. And, you know, I would expect for someone who went through that kind of physical transformation that led to some form of sort of holistic renewal to be leaning into that space a little more. But no, there's some fucking pissed off shit on here.
This album is about love in all of its infinite manifestations.
Yes.
And for me, love, right, is like giving voice to all of the parts, all of the feelings, the full journey, the rage, the joy, the lust, the being horny, the being your ego. Like there's a song on my album called Ego Talking.
Yeah.
And I walked into the studio one day and I was feeling a lot of jealousy and insecurity and like some attachment things were coming up. And I was like, ooh, this song is not going to be a song from the highest version of myself, the best healed version of myself. My ego needs the mic.
Yeah.
My ego needs to do some talking.
Yeah.
And so to be able to, it's about all of this. And my fans always joke, they're like, Fletcher's never healed a day in her life, you know? And I think
thanks.
I think it's about when I'm writing songs like Becky So Hot and all of these sort of unhinged records in
they've
a way.
They've got a point. I mean,
they've got your
story up until
valid
this,
assessment.
You know, your story up to In Search Of is fuck even trying. I'm just going to burn it down and see what's left. And that's kind of been elements of that throughout. And those are the things we've focused a little bit about. I mean, I remember the conversation I had with you maybe 2-3 chats ago about Becky, and you were relishing the drama.
Mm.
You were like, oh yeah, I am here for this. Let's go.
I was lying.
Yeah. You even jumped on my social media feed and pumped it up even more because you were so into the conversation around that song. Now you say you were lying. Give us the wisdom you've developed since that moment to now.
Well, there's a song on my album called Doing Better. And
love it. We were just playing it.
It is a song. It's a follow-up to a song on my last album, Girl of My Dreams, called Better Version. And the lyric ends with, and now some other person's going to get the better version of me.
Mm.
And so in this time off, I was sitting and I was like, what's the better version of me doing? And is she really doing better? And I had to really sit with that, and I was reflecting. It's a song about a reflection of that time in my life during that era, and the lyrics, the verses, is like me making fun of myself, all the ways that I was acting so cocky, like, your girlfriend never thanked me for making her go viral. Fuck it, I'm her idol.
Mm.
I get sad and spiral. Yeah, I'll buy a new whip, but you'll never see me take
the high
road. And it's a commentary on all of the ways of that time in my life not feeling good. And so here I am, I'm doing all these things. I'm getting to be on a stage performing with Miley Cyrus. I'm performing this song. And yet I'm so sick on the inside. Mm. And so,
because you're drinking the fuck you juice. A lot of that stuff is just driven from the desire to prove to somebody, not yourself, that you're better than the person they left.
Yeah, and which is derived from a place of lack, like a place of scarcity within yourself of like, I've got something to prove. And so I look back on that time and I'm like, and I am somebody who will always stand by writing your emotions, writing your feelings. I'm an artist. Like I'm going to fuck up. I'm not going to do things perfectly. But I would not release that. I would not release that song. I would have written it because, yeah, that was true. That was in truth in the moment for me.
So no regrets, but if, are you saying you wouldn't release it knowing yourself who you've become now?
Yeah.
Or if you had a chance to do it again, you wouldn't?
If I had a chance to do it again, I wouldn't release it. But that's also not real because we cannot go back in time.
That's true.
So I'm reflecting from the space
that
I am in now.
It's the first one then. You know, it's knowing yourself and the person that you are becoming, you recognize that. So the question for you now is, will you play that song live?
Will I play Becky So Hot live?
Yeah.
I do think I have to give it to the gays.
See, this is the fucking, this is the contradiction on display right here. It's a powerful statement until you play it fucking live. You're like, I would not release that song now. Listen, but ladies and gentlemen, you've been waiting for this one. Let's rock.
But it's a part of the evolution. Like, I had to have better version to have Becky So Hot, to have Listen, Doing Better, which is just a commentary on life in general,
it's
all the
true,
ways
but
that
I'd
were
be,
like,
I'd be, it would be churlish of me not to establish my own commentary on.
You gotta give it to me. Give well, me I'm the just, peanut gallery. Just, I like it.
I am not in the peanut gallery. I'm in the front row of your concert, and I'm saying that you know you can. You summed it up. You know, it's fine to have your feelings about what that song meant to you in the moment and how you've evolved and grown. I'll leave it here. It's going to be interesting to know how you feel after you start playing it live. Now
I've been rehearsing it. Even through rehearsal, it lands really funny in my body.
That's
for me.
The question. What does it feel like? I understand you. It's a gift for the fans, and you feel you need to tell. It's part of your story, but it's got to feel different.
Of course, it feels different. Even when I was performing it at the time, there was just like a seed there that I'm like, ooh, the seed that planted this song was like from a space of what a pure intention of just wanting to be like, yeah, she's hot. I get it. And then, but also all the ways that you know, ended up being perceived by people and then watching how it unfolded. And
everyone's jumping up and down at the concert, singing along with you. And you're like,
yes.
Out of body experience.
And so now, because I have found like forgiveness in myself through that time, have expressed the way that I have felt about that chapter in my life. I feel like being able to perform it now is just like, I can experience the rowdiness and the hype and the energy and the joy, you know, of what that song and the fun and the play.
It's a healthy disassociation from the original sentiment in order to create a piece of art. It's an artistic statement now, not a personal statement.
Yeah.
Right?
You got it. The artist has to remove themselves.
Sometimes you got to take yourself out of it.
Take yourself out of it.
How did you know you were ready to make music again? It's pretty tough going through that kind of, you know, health scare like that and having to put yourself back together. And you know, making music is not an easy road to begin. It's going to take a lot out of you, and there's a lot on this record I can tell took a lot out of you. I mean, just that song, Two Things Can Be True, I feel like would have been a tough day in the studio.
Yeah, I think that song was, I wrote that song with Julia Michaels.
Of course you did. Fucking hell, she's a beast.
She is literally, she deserves 10 of those.
I mean, no one does day-to-day conversation in the form of a song like she does.
Genius.
She's a genius. So yeah, anyway.
This has become a fan page now for Julia Michaels.
It's just a brief one. So yeah, how did you know that you had the strength to make something new?
This album took a lot of energy, but it also gave me so much energy. And truly, because I was in the place where my body was like so depleted, I would go to the studio and I didn't have the energy for a facade. Like I didn't have the energy to try to like overperform my vocals, or I didn't have the energy to, I just had to show up in truth and like sing. And because so much was happening with my body and my vocal cords were changing, and I had to let go of all the like technicality of the way that I've used to sing before. And I just had to show up and like sing from my heart and write from my heart. And so it took a lot, but it also gave me back so much. I also wrote most of this album in my hometown in New Jersey. And so I was going back and forth from the studio, and my mom would make me a little pasta, and then I would go back and record a vocal, and then I would go home.
And you went home to recover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just had to go. I went back to my childhood bedroom.
I think we can probably go there. We've known each other a while. When you got home, what was the first thing and or the sentiment of the first thing that your mother said to you that reflected the learning that you had to come to yourself that she probably saw was coming? You know that moment when parents are like, I've been kind of waiting for this moment a little bit? Was there an element to that? Like, the way you've been living, the way you've been moving. I mean, there's empathy.
My parents have they've been watching me since I was a little kid. Just go, 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 go. Push, 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 push. And my parents have never pushed me. It's always come from like an internal desire to like prove something to myself that I was like worthy or valid in some way. And and like my mom's like also weird. She's like witchy and kind of psychic, and she always knows what I'm feeling, and she always knows. She'll call me and just be like, why aren't you telling me about so-and-so? And I'm like, what?
So she knew something was going on with you before you even came home.
Yeah, and she was just like, and she's Italian, you know. I wrote a song called maybe it's the Jersey in me, which maybe I'll release at some point in time. And there's a line in there that it's like, it's my Italian mother in my blood. And yeah, I get like the road rage from my dad, the Jersey in me. But yeah, mom knows. And I think to just be held in that, like to be held in that energy of, she's like, you know, her love language is food too. She's like, what do you want? What do you want? What can I cook you? And I think to go back and be able to reflect in that space in my childhood bedroom, where I processed so much as a kid, so much growing up around struggling with my sexuality and my identity and all of it. Like, I was suddenly just sitting in it, literally having like letters from my friends in sixth grade and journals.
Wow,
and like all
gross
of it's there.
Fucking blank go-go. Holy shit.
Like,
they just demolished your family home and built a quickie mart. Welcome to fucking existential crisis.
Yeah.
What was
literally
your first sleep like when you in your childhood bedroom?
Panic attack. I still had a mural on my wall of like I had this like beach mural of like a palm tree on my wall that has been up since the sixth grade.
Why do our parents keep our rooms the same? Man, our kid's about to go to college this year. Yeah. And when he goes, man, I'm fucking turning that room into a studio. It's a drum room. It's a fucking
new fresh vibe. Where's he going to sleep when he comes home though?
Fuck that. He's going to have a beer fridge, a drum set. I'm going to have six TVs in there lined up just to watch sports. It's going to be like, by the way, my wife's going to love it. We're going to sit there and we're just going to play drums and drink beers.
It sounds like a man cave. It's giving me anxiety.
Nah, it's more like a marriage cave.
Okay, I like it.
It's, yeah, it's strong relationship goals. It's what it should be giving you.
Honestly, T, I need some advice on that.
Clearly. Listen to this fucking album, clearly.
Can you help me?
No. Based on what I'm hearing on this record, absolutely
not. It's beyond the point
of
help.
It's your search for the antidote and I cannot help you right now. Because there's some shit on this album. It's like, wow, man, you've definitely done a lot of work on yourself, but you're still going. I'm in
my Saturn return right now, you know?
You are fully in your Saturn return. You're not alone. Ari's in her Saturn return. Who else do we speak to? Huh? Casey's in her Saturn return. Dua is in her Saturn return. I spoke to Dua the other day. She's in her Saturn return. I'm speaking to all these amazing pop stars and superstars who are all like, yeah, I've been through some shit. Like,
you know? Yeah, we're in it. I think you just get confronted with so much of you and who you are and all the things that are not in alignment in your life. You have no choice but to like really look at it and face it. And that was, and this album was me sitting down and just and feeling it and facing it. And
what's a Pisces go through in Saturn return?
What's a Pisces go through? Well, it depends what house your Saturn is in.
Oh, it's so individual. I mean, it's a mathematical equation, as I said the other day, to somebody that really pertains only to every individual over the course of their life and what they have to learn to move forward. So what was your experience in your Saturn?
Mine was in the sixth house of work and health.
Mm.
So,
Back home.
Yeah, there's something about the stars, right, that it's like, we're cosmic, like we're stardust. We're like we're matter.
I believe that to be true.
Yeah, we're all made of that stuff. And so there's something about the blueprint of the sky and the stars and where all the stars were placed on the day you were born, at the exact time that you were born, that lays out some sort of blueprint, cosmic blueprint, for the trajectory in the course of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so funny when you start to learn about it, and you're just like, oh wait. Why does everything all of a sudden make sense? And there's this relief of it in a way that's like, yes, I have free will in the sense of how I choose to show up. But there's also a part of it that's like, some things feel destined, you know? And your challenges and all the things we're meant to navigate and grow through and learn through is, it's pretty profound. And I feel like I kind of dumped all of that into this record, and there'll be more, you know. It's always a search.
You're just getting started.
Scratching the tip of the iceberg
for sure. I feel like this is, in a way, no disrespect to Girl or any of the other things you've done, we've spoken through those moments, hey, great moments. This is like where it starts, really, because you're a smart writer, really smart writer. I listen to your words and I'm like, huh, okay, a lot of turnaround, a lot of twists in the tale. Thought I knew the song, now I don't know the song, or maybe I do know the song, all in the space of 3 minutes. You love to write clever. You love to keep people guessing in your shit. And so I think that like having a stronger connection to your spiritual side over the course of your life is only going to make you cleverer.
Yeah, because there's still so many parts of me that I haven't even accessed yet.
Exactly.
And that's the exciting part. It's that it's forever a journey. And so yeah, there's this album was like the version of me that existed when I finished writing it. And then there's going to be a million more. You know, we're all just like, yeah, I'm like a cat with nine lives, just giving pussy diet.
The first song that came on was Joyride.
Oh, wow. That's like the last, second to last song on the record.
It's also the first song that I heard on the album, which is, it is Fletcher at her most unbridled, sexually connected, but I never know when you're writing about it, whether it's through joy or sometimes it's distraction or sometimes it's revenge or sometimes it's just a very intense experience hearing you sing a song like Joyride, because I'm like, this ain't just a straight sex song. This is a weird wrapped up. There's like something's going on with the song. You know what I mean?
It's deeply nuanced. Yeah, there's sexual tension there.
I'm not wrong here, right? Like, it's not just a straight up, hey, you're hot, I'm hot, let's get it on for 6 hours on the kitchen bench. It's a pretty intense ride, that song.
No, it's like sex. It's also like these are all the things that I'm like navigating my avoidance in relationships.
Boom.
You know, steal the keys to my heart.
Take it for a joyride.
Yeah, nobody catches the girl, but I dare you to try. Steal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
The keys to my heart, take it out for a joyride.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But the first part you said as well about avoiding your own actual true feelings is much easier when you are steeped in a lust mode or in an attraction mode. It's easy to just stay there and not see the other side of it. Do you recognize that in your writing a little bit? Because I do feel like to some degree, your attraction, you write it really well, but I also feel like It's attraction could be a distraction if I listen to your music.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's also, even just from a biological perspective, like when we're falling in love too, there's so many chemicals involved. There's serotonin, there's dopamine, there's adrenaline. I have a song on my album called Eras of Us.
Brilliant, by the way. My second favorite song on the record.
Thank you. I ran into my ex-girlfriend at the Taylor Swift concert at the Eras tour.
You ran into your ex.
I ran into my ex.
At a Taylor Swift concert.
And we hugged for the first time since the day we broke up.
Oh, that's a good one. What was the hug like? Was it over? Was it's over hug?
It was a healing hug.
Beautiful. That's the best kind of hug.
It was a healing hug. It was like a deeply, deeply healing hug. And I wrote in the lyric, like, I've been practicing this moment, but I never thought I'd see you again.
Oh, good lyrics. Man, Fletcher, you're a fucking real writer, man.
Oh, thanks.
Dude, really, like, no wonder Julia Michaels is stacking up the fucking sessions.
Yeah, we got a couple songs on my album together, but I don't know why I was telling you that I ran into my ex.
Eras of Us.
Yeah, but there was something that you said before that.
About attraction being a distraction.
Attraction being a distraction, yes. Oh, what I was going to say is that, yeah, there's so many emotions involved, and I called myself an adrenaline slut in the Eras of Us bridge, you know? Lately, I've been swinging fists and starting a fight. I've been trying to kill the memory of you in my mind. It's a cross I'm going to bear until the day that I die.
No!
And there's something about an adrenaline slut. The problem is, the problem is that I'm just an adrenaline slut, is what I say. Mm. And it's me calling myself out in all the ways that I'm like, I deeply crave love and intimacy. Mm. And also all the ways that I push it away.
Right.
That there's this like endless, you know, this, because when you see that it's a void that you're trying to fill.
Yes.
Nothing's ever going to be enough.
No,
no one is ever going to be enough. It's insatiable.
Well, that you could say the same about the desire for attention, fame, success, validation through the lens of others. You could say that about the people that you surround yourself with and your relationships, platonic, professional, the people who and how they really relate to you,
mm-hmm.
how they make you see yourself. Is it the real image of you?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can say that absolutely about relationships. And to your point, in search of the antidote, what is the antidote? What is going to untangle all of this and allow me to make better decisions based on what is really important to me, right? Not this bottomless pit of desire for love, for attention.
Seeking, well, because right. It's endless. It's that is an endless search.
It's a great fucking word, desire. I mean, desire is the kind of word you know, it's a tattooable word, man. I mean, it's a good-looking word, and it's mm-hmm. the kind of thing that when you throw it around, people often put a positive connotation around, I have a desire to be successful, a desire to be loved, a desire. But desire is like, to me, it feels hungry and selfish.
And needy.
A little bit.
There's a neediness. There's a selfishness there of a desire.
Well, it's a sin. It's if you want to take it back to biblical times, right? It's actually one of the seven sins.
Yeah. And it also insinuates that it is something that you do not yet have.
Yes, there it is. Exactly.
It's something that you do not yet have in this now moment.
What are you willing to do to get it?
To get it. And so then all of a sudden you are projecting all of these things into the future of, you know, once I have this amount of money, once I have this amount of fame, success, friends, relationships, I will be happy.
Wow. So desire really is a never-ending story.
It's a never-ending story. So when you bring it back to, because then it is everywhere but the present moment.
Correct.
And so it is everything outside of you.
Boom.
And so the antidote is.
What is it?
I think it is for me is going to be different. For all of us. But it is boiling down to the very, 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 very essence of what and who you truly are outside of all of it.
It's self-love. You said this is a love album. To me, every single song arrives at the same point, which is I need to love myself, right? I'm doing better. Am I really? I got to figure that out. I got to love myself before I can actually feel like I'm doing better and I can move past you, you know?
Yeah, smiling on the outside, crying on the inside. You would never know because I'm posing with my good side.
Correct. Joyride, right? Brilliantly written, very modern, explicit, version of a relationship, a human song. But again, a distraction from what I really need in my life to some degree.
Yeah.
Right? Pretending. Eras of us. Two things can be true. All of these to me are just are you just going, shit, and I'm not going to run anyway. I'm not going to run away anymore from this. Right?
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm still in it right now.
I hope you're not uncomfortable in the conversation about it because I'm loving it.
No. I'm deeply, I'm here for this, you know, I'm here for this. And I'm learning all of the ways how to integrate Carrie and Fletcher into one and to truly bring that human experience and not it be like highlighted in a way that's like, oh, what do people want to hear from me? It's like, no, what is the truth of where I'm really at and
beautiful.
Really getting to bring that to spaces where I can really get to speak what's on my heart. And so I have a lot of gratitude for the space that you curate here, which allows artists to come to the table as themselves, like as the core of who they are. And so
I feel lucky. Well, that's awesome. I feel very fortunate to be able to do it. I learn a lot every time.
Yeah.
And it's a human experience. Music is the key that unlocks the room, but every room's different. And it's a real privilege to be able to talk to true artists about their process and where they are at any given moment. You know, you may have been through it on a health level, but compared to the other times that I've met you or seen you or interviewed or whatever, you look healthier than I've ever seen you. So whatever the work is that you put into this, you just like, there's just a light in your eyes, I think, that I haven't seen before. So it's working, dude. It's working.
Thank you.
How are you maintaining it? How are you being disciplined? Because it takes work. That's why I said, you know, the health kick, the thing of like the journey, you hope it's a lifelong journey because it's really easy to fall off and get back into old habits.
It is. And I would be like, there's periods of time where I've been really taking care of myself with like breath work and meditation and therapy and eating really healthy and, you know, and being fortunate enough to like be able to buy healthy food and supplements and all the thing. That's
a massive
privilege. And so to be able to take care of my physical vessel and my body, that's been the biggest thing for me is like healing my nervous system, learning how to self-regulate. And Yeah, and I'm in it right now. And I would be lying to you. Like, I've had a really rough week. Like, I've been super ungrounded and off, out of my center. And a lot of just, yeah, a lot of anxiety has come up for me. And I've just, but also just being able to speak into that of just like showing up in truth. It is not this beautiful, polished thing. And I'm not healed. And I'm healing. Mm. And it is not a linear journey, and it is not a linear process.
No, I was talking to someone about this morning who's going through some shit. I was like, process is the point. It's not the entire point, but it's a big part of it. And it makes total sense you're going through this. You turn 30 on the 19th, your album comes out on the 21st. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about set it up. I mean,
you know, I leave for South America tomorrow. I do not have a single bag packed.
That's fine. Don't worry about that
shit.
That's just time and space and physical stuff. That's just like stuff.
I know. It is just things. I always laugh at the airport when I see people just walking around with just like suitcase. I'm like, humans are so cute. We're just walking around with bags of stuff.
The point is, you're about to go back out into an unnatural environment.
Yes.
You're about to spend time in airports waiting. Mm-hmm. Queues, planes, delays are inevitable. Yeah, I know. I feel your pulse going up, right?
Yeah.
There's a purpose for this. I'm not trying to make you feel sick. I'm trying to get you in the game, right? I'm trying to get you in the game.
Yeah.
So rather than stand in a terminal laughing at families.
You missed the point.
I know, but it works for my point.
Okay.
You need to just...
Two things can be true.
Stop quoting yourself.
I gotta
fucking great.
Promote.
A lot of bombs on this one. This has been a good one. You just give yourself every opportunity to do it right. Look forward to packing your suitcase because it's easy and great and everything looks good in it.
Yeah.
Right?
The reframe.
Reframe that shit because fuck, touring is gonna, it's just, you're about to leave the cocoon, my friend.
Yeah.
You're starting in South America. Craziest, most awesome
going to
crowds
Brazil.
Ever.
I've never been. I've gotten so many comments that say come to Brazil.
Oh,
and
you're
going to have a crazy
time.
I finally come to Brazil. I'm so lucky that I get to do what I do every day. You know, that I get to write these songs, that I get to go play these songs all over the world, in Europe, in the UK, in Australia, New Zealand, South America.
You've got real fans and like obsessive, brilliant fans who want you to win. Where does this album sit for your fans in their life? How do you hope they live with it and turn to it? If you could design the experience a little bit, I know it's unique. Where do you really ideally want people to turn to this record?
For me, like, this album was written to meet people wherever they are at. That's the thing. It was written to meet you wherever you're at. If there is, you know, to feel all of it, to feel the full range of your emotions, like whatever you're in. You know, there's a song for everything. There's been many muses on this album too. I wrote about, you know, in past projects, I think there was like a specific focus.
Yep.
I had a lot of muses. There's friends, there's friend breakups, there's lovers, there's all of it. Like a lot of muses.
That in itself is a real sign of growth as a writer because, you know, I think the idea of struggling to create a strong foundation for relationships has been the benchmark of many, many wonderful songs and projects and albums and probably the most common. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder, like, when you write about it, does it actively help you strengthen your parameters and boundaries of what you need to have a healthy relationship? Or is it just circling the issue over and over again?
I mean, I think it could be a combination of the two, but I think it allows me to dive a little bit deeper into my psyche. Like, writing allows me to call up a feeling, an emotion, and kind of work it through and put it into art. So it's almost this like alchemical process that happens through the course of writing something that I'm able to get it outside of my body, right?
Yeah.
And then it's not mine once it's out, it's not mine anymore.
And you can use that space for something new.
It's the artist getting out of the way. It's this isn't me anymore.
Yeah.
And then I can use that space to feel into something new, to experience, to explore something new. Yeah, there's this level of it that's like, ooh, I can see that pain or that chaos existing in a vessel outside of me. And then that can be something that just goes and sails, you know, the ocean of life now and meets people where they're at.
But then you get a chance to, like I said, you get the replacement therapy where it's like, okay, I don't have to be that person anymore. I wrote about that person, experienced that in a song. I understand it. I can look in that and refer to that and know that's who I was.
Yeah.
So now who do I want to be?
Well, and it's always that. Like, we are always growing. We are always evolving. Like, I love all of the women that I have been.
That's fucking awesome. Awesome. Who's doing it right now? Who do you love artistically? Who do you love? Who are you a fan of? Straight, simple question. Who do you just think is fantastic and you think's getting it right?
I love Ryan Beatty so much.
Oh, can we just for a second just talk about that album? I mean,
Ribbons.
Fuck, the most perfect fucking, I mean, lyrically, you know.
It hurts me to think about that album. You know, the most beautiful, like, it hurts.
There's
it's
a million
so good,
ways that this can end and no sunrise is ever promised. So I hold my baby in my arms. I thank
God to wake us up by sunrise.
Yeah. I got the second
count
one.
Count on God to wake us up by sunrise. Oof, and it is literally the definition of just simplicity. It is vocals, it is emotion, it is so raw, it is so unfiltered.
Yeah,
there's no show around it, it just is.
I know. This is the shit. Mm-hmm. It's out of my hands. What can I tell you? I'm not losing it. I'm just having a laugh, counting my paces. I'm making faces at the one who stares at me at the end of the glass. Fuck you, Ryan. That's just perfect poetry. That's unbelievable. That is every human being searching for a place in a room of people that don't know you, to process pain in a human way through the filter of a glass of alcohol. And it is the most beautifully summed up sentiment. It's like incredible. Psh. Been there. Totally been
there.
Wow.
It's so cool to watch you speak about artists' work. Also other artists that I love and adore and I'm a fan of. It's like,
we're so lucky.
Yeah. And it hits in such a way. And those are the records that I put on when I just need to, when I just need to feel something.
And then
I'm also deeply
yeah.
in a different energy. Troy Sivan's Something to Give Each Other.
Fuck yeah.
Is one of my favorite albums.
They're kindred spirits in ways. And no, I don't know if they know each other. But to me, coming from different points to your point, they're both exploring this real human experience in different tempo,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
very open writers.
Mm-hmm.
Troy's been that Ryan on
fully
that album. But now he's like, I'm dancing and I'm open and I'm willing.
But still giving so much, like I still got it bad, or like every lyric on that album too is just you feel the depth of it, but it's in this space of play and it's in this space of rhythm and bass, and you get to dance in it. You get to dance in the chaos, you get to dance in the pain, and you just it's two sides of the same coin. It's
exactly.
all of it.
There's part of me really wants a version of that Troy album in the Ryan style, to hear those songs come to life. And someone's got to take that album, that Ryan album, Calico, and put a deep house moment under it, right? Something that's just like,
fuck me up.
That would be fucking
amazing.
I don't know
if we would survive it.
Can you imagine?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
No satellites in the sky. Material things. Oh my fucking God, with the fucking chords and the past.
Free. Yeah.
There's a million ways that this could end. Oh shit, it's just there. Someone got to do it. So, and they won't, but they could. But, you know, I think it draws us back into your room in a really natural way because you love to break hearts, and including your own, to tempo. And, you know, there's something very rewarding about dancing through the pain. Mm. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have Robin and Janet Jackson and house music, right, as a genre, right? We wouldn't have it.
Truly.
I mean, that was all music that came out of pain and protest. That was those clubs were safe places for people who were ostracized by quote-unquote community or society who found a safe place to go dance with one another and talk about their pain. Those songs are protest songs. Mm. And so I feel like in a way you fit that bill. Like, I do feel like as a writer, you are a protest writer in a lot of ways, you know? So I think.
Thank you. Actually, I've never heard that reflection, but I think there's a big part of me that I just stand for love in so many ways, and protesting in the sense of standing up for,
there it is,
for people.
Yep.
And their belonging in the world and their safety within themselves and within their bodies and amongst community, and also all the ways that I protest myself.
Well, that's an important one.
Put myself on display and do intentionally, you know, sort of light a fire to my life and see what's left.
That's an important one, because that's the thing that we struggle with, I think, as people a lot, is to actually protest our own
existence.
Own, yeah, which is a really important part of growth, to actually take a step back and say, you know, I am anti this. You know, just because I'm experiencing it doesn't mean that it's by choice. In many respects, it was actually given to me, not in a gift way, but it just as a hand down. And I protest this. I'm anti this behavior, and I choose a different path. That's what this Antidote record is, I think. You just chose your path. It's been good talking with you, huh? It's always fun, man.
Yeah, we always traverse some,
but it doesn't feel deep. It doesn't feel like, oh, we're going deep. It just feels like they just, these things just pop
truth.
Up. Yeah, just pop up.
Just truth.
Just start where it goes.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going.